Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hey, Rush Nation, before we get to today's show, which is an absolute banger, trust me on this, I want to tell you about the Fantasy Football Playbook. Murph and I have been working really hard. Blood, sweat, and tears have been pushed into our first publication. It's a book about fantasy football. Shock, this is a fantasy football podcast, but it's got strategy guides for all formats, rookie player profile reviews, Murph's PAS metric, which is exclusive to the podcast and the book. Head over to 5yardrush.co.uk, into the shop, and go buy yourself the Fantasy Football Playbook.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? We're back, new week. Just the two of us this week. We thought, you know, we didn't want to give you a guest every week because you might just forget who we are a little bit. So we thought we'd give you the big man himself and me. Big man, how you doing? Looking fresh as always, sir. The hair's chopped now as well. The beard's coming back.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't have the live stream this week. Just a few things going on in the background that meant we won't, but we'll do it next week. Yeah, all good. Been sorry for last week. I kind of caused some headaches by being a very late scratch. So my job is very crazy at quarter end. So the last couple of days of March and June and September, not so much December, are really crazy. They turn into a real sort of deadline day scenario. Very frantic. No fax machines, but I almost thought I did need one this time around. So I was trying to get a client signed. Had to get a deal sheet in effectively, if we want to use Premier League terms, and ask for an extension from our finance because we'd agreed all the terms. It was just getting a final signature and things. And I was basically up until I think about 3 in the morning, going backwards and forwards with paperwork, WhatsApping a guy in India and stuff like that. It was a crazy day and then got it done in the morning. So it was worth it, I guess. But it did mean I missed out. It was fire last week, bro. You did a great job with the guys, and it was a great podcast. And if you haven't had a chance to check it out, then definitely do. The video is also lit, so definitely join in on that. But how are you?
I'm good. Been busy. And last week's podcast was very much a curveball for our usual shows, but it was massively interesting, and I learned a lot about Britball and you know, trying to get a team into the army. So, and the boys were both really cool as well, so that was good.
But yeah, they're top guys.
It was a big, big learning curve for me, especially when you consider where people are in the army all over the world. They're a long, long way away from each other. It's not as if, you know, the London Olympians are all living or in and around London. The army team is all over the world. So I I don't know if you listen to Locked On Draft podcast. I know you do, Murph, but Rush Nation, we had Benjamin Solak on. He did the review of the NFL UK mock draft we did, which was good fun, and they did a really interesting thing today about drafting. You can only draft 11 players and they have to play on both sides of the ball, and there was big some thing on Twitter, obviously, which I haven't seen because I'm not on Twitter, but they were talking about players that they drafted, and it made me, Ben was talking about how we wanted to run, you know, almost the West Point offense with three possible quarterbacks because he didn't know who was going to be quarterback because he also needed that player to play defense. And it reminded me of the army boys saying, well, we're not going to have one star quarterback. Well, we might do, but he might not always be available. So if we run the three, it's escaped me now, the three option, then that's going to be good for us going forward because we'll have people that can play the position all over the army. So yeah, it's just a completely different take on building a roster, which I found in, you know, very informative considering how much in the fantasy football playbook we did about rosters and just learning about the rosters in general. It was good learn.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, you know, we bring these guests on, we are a fantasy podcast, but ultimately our job is to bring exciting, entertaining guests, but just of interesting subjects. You know, we're lucky enough in this country to have a league. I had Tim Monk on a few weeks before, and you know, it was amazing how ignorant I am to Britball, and to knowing about where I can get information and get into supporting a team. And okay, this year isn't going to happen due to COVID, but it is just amazing how we're all prepared to go and watch the NFL, or we're all prepared to go and watch the Premier League, but there aren't as many people willing to go and support local teams. And you know, I'm as guilty of that as anybody. I have been to a London Warriors game. It was a long time ago. And maybe, you know, there should be a bit more of an effort for us if as enthusiasts of the game to go and watch those games, because they're very intimate settings. You can probably get to know the players, the coaches, over time, and you can probably get to learn a lot more about the game. And especially as you become more ingrained in the game and you learn a lot more about it and you get to study positioning and get to studying the tactics and everything, it will make your fantasy brain a little bit sharper as well. I know you and I have spent the last year really deep diving into a lot of different things, from learning how to watch tape and watch football all the way down to just the mechanics, the concepts, all those sorts of things in terms of understanding the personnel groupings. And, you know, there's some people in this country who are very smart and understand those. There's some that are not, and maybe it's not for them. And that doesn't, you know, you don't have to do that to enjoy the game. You can watch it and enjoy it to watch it and enjoy it. But if you love this game and you've got that addiction to it and watching games at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you know, you probably do, just take the opportunity. I'm not saying you need to be a diehard and go every game, but try and get down at least once a season or once every couple of years. It's hard, but it's something you can take your kids to when they're older. It's something that you can do. And as sort of Tim was saying when he was on, you know, there's a team probably within 15 miles of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, okay, the standard's not as good and everything, but you take a couple of mates on a weekend, you take a couple of beers with you, you can make a day of it and you can have some fun and get to know the players and learn a lot more, and you get that access. You can even play. You know, they're calling out for players with no experience. You know, mm-hmm. fancy yourself learning the, you know, you're young enough, fit enough, and you fancy getting in and actually playing the game, then do that. You know, just yeah, it'd be good to get more people involved. That's kind of why we've done these things. You know, I had the opportunity to speak to these guys. I got introduced to them from somebody else and thought it was well worth promoting their cause and just understanding a little bit more, because I was as naive and I was gutted I missed it, because I was really looking forward to it. But I listened and learned a lot from it, and I still speak to the guys, and they're good fellas, and we'll get them on again and update you all on their journey.
Mm. And you'd be surprised what supporting your local club by just turning up and paying a gate receipt or buying a cup of tea, you know, singularly, you're not going to make much of a difference. But if you and a couple of mates go down and they tell a couple of their mates, and all of a sudden they've got 100 extra people in the next season or the season after that, you know, that could be another 500 quid a week, which could buy newer equipment for the team so they're a bit safer, or, you know, floodlights if they do play evening games, but they don't get the chance to play evening games because they don't have any lighting. There could be all these options are endless. And if Britball received a little bit more, I mean, you've only got to take the guys over at the X and O's podcast. I mean, I don't listen, but I see all their stuff on Facebook and stuff, and they're all ex-players and coaches and stuff, and they've been nominated for the British Podcast Awards and stuff. So if you haven't voted for them, you know, go out and vote for them, because they're representing the NFL UK and our community. So sorry, boys, off the top of my head, I don't know the actual address to go and vote for them as podcast. But yeah, the People's Choice Award and also Best Sports Podcast. So they're representing the NFL UK, so we should go and represent back and help Britball to the full.
I'll post a Twitter link out. Yeah, give them a vote. They're really good guys. I met them last year at the London Games, and a friend of a couple of them. Don't talk to them overly often, but wish them all the success. They're really, really good people who just know a lot. And yeah, probably we'll get them on here at some point, and they can teach us, because you know, this podcast isn't just us just passing knowledge on. It's why we get guests, and we've got some great ones coming up in the next couple of weeks that we're really excited about. Not going to add spoilers, but you know, proper fantasy analysts who have a lot of knowledge to share. And it's going to be an exciting time. This is the kind of time of the year that you and I really live for. It's July. It's the, you know, with the best ball drafts have kind of come to an end. Some of the diehard early drafts that we do have pretty much finished. We're still in one that is in the last round, and I'm looking forward to that one to finish because it's been a couple of weeks and it's been a bit of a slog. But it is now properly fantasy season. The Scott Fish Bowl kicked off yesterday. And there's a lot of really good tournaments. That's obviously one for the marquee calendar is to get in that. We both have a team this year. Last year we shared a team. This year we both have our own teams, but we obviously Stocks and I are not in the same division, and we are working with each other to bring the ship home as hard as it is.
Funnily enough, though, you were drafting from the 12th spot and I'm drafting from the 11th. So regardless of us having individual divisions, our teams are going to look fairly similar, I imagine, just of where we're drafting.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say your draft has allowed you to get probably slight upgrades of players that I would have liked and didn't get. I seem to be in a very good division. There was a lot of fans in it, and I was kind of like, I don't really know which way to go, but I think there hasn't been a pick so far that I've gone, oh, maybe Allen Robinson is the seventh wide receiver off the board, but I didn't even think that was that spicy. Mm. There hasn't been a pick that's made me like really whiff and go like, hey, that's really weird. I think all the picks have been pretty solid, and it's been very running back and quarterback heavy in my particular division. So my team now, and it's funny because I made the picks at 9 o'clock this morning, and there's been no picks since. Yeah. And normally people have a go at the Brits for holding up the draft, but
not five yard,
not in this instance. So my team reads as of right now: Drew Brees, Mark Andrews, Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, Jared Goff, and Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're, so that's in the sixth round, 601. I took Jimmy Garoppolo back-to-back QBs. That makes 18 QBs off the board. I kind of make it that 2021 QBs here are viable.
I set a list last night because there was four picks to go until my list would have been active, and I started the draft. Murph and I, we had a plan, and a fluid plan as always, but we had a plan that we were going to go quarterback tight end at the end of the first, beginning of the second, and luckily Dak, who is our quarterback two, was there when I grabbed him at the 11, and then I swung back around and also grabbed Mark Andrews because the drop-off after the big three was quite severe points-wise in the Scott Fish Bowl, being a tight end premium as well as super flex. I then drafted Todd Gurley, fell to me at the end of the third round, which was an absolute steal. And then, Murph, help me out here. Who did I draft in the... Oh, Chris Carson. I then took Chris Carson at the fourth, start of the fourth. I was thinking about taking Kirk Cousins, but Murph and I had a discussion and we felt that there was a chance he fell to the fifth, sixth turn. As it turns out, he didn't. People were super keen on the quarterbacks and they all sort of vanished before the 5-6. And then my list was still active from the night before and it auto-picked Raheem Mostert, which at the end of the fifth isn't terrible value, as Murph pointed out to me whilst I was having a bit of a meltdown because I wanted to grab a quarterback before grabbing someone else. But the guy after me, he took a couple of guys who I wasn't interested in and came back around. So I grabbed Ryan Tannehill, who we feel is safe, and he's my quarterback too. I wanted to go quarterback wide receiver just because Beckham was still there, and I thought at the sixth round he would have been okay as my wide receiver one. But as it happens, I've now got Mostert and Tannehill, and I'm hoping one of the quarterbacks makes it back to me in the end of the next round, just so I can get my third quarterback and then stash up. Because some of the receivers that are still, like Cooper Kupp, still there, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, there is so many Cooper Kupp. Did I say him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's tons of value at wide receiver. Everyone seems to be punting receiver down the board. So, you know, the advantage I take with QB is I've got three QBs. I can pick and choose my QB and my flex. And now I've caused a bit of panic because there's very few viable QB options left. There's five people that haven't taken two QBs. There's a sixth who hasn't taken any. and that guy's properly deep, he might not get a viable QB to start. And that could be the end of your tournament, because it's unlike a regular super flex league. The scoring in Scott Fish Bowl is, if you haven't heard, it's pretty nuts. I'll go through the basics of it. So basically QBs, the reason I say there's 20, 21, 22 viable is because the scoring is based off of a lot of different factors. It's 4 points, minus 4 points for an interception, minus two for a pick six. So if a pick six goes, it's costing you 6 points. Completions are marked as half a point. Incompletions are marked as minus one. So if your QB is completing less than 67% of their passes, they are losing you points in that category. Now, over the course of the season, that could be 1 point, 2 points, and isn't going to hit you too hard. But there's some quarterbacks that are going to lose you 50 points a season from doing that. And more importantly, you could have a really bad game. I started some games. Winston had a minus 18 game last year. Sam Darnold had a minus 14 game last year, which again, if you don't have viable quarterbacks, the strategy might be that you don't start a second QB in a super flex league. And versus people that do and have viable quarterback options, i.e. me, that could be really dicey. And, you know, to get three top 18 quarterbacks, I probably would have liked two top 12s. It didn't happen. I'm okay with that. But I picked up a top three QB from my scoring and then picked up two relatively safe guys who were going to do well. I do have to watch Goff a little bit. And the good thing about having Jimmy G is he's extremely safe. So I can slot Jimmy G in when I think Goff is going to have a bad game, and just protect myself a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot. That's the QB scoring. Also, sacks as well are minus one. So people, you know, shout out to all the people that have joined. I basically set up a war room on my personal Twitter for guys who are interested in seeing the process behind the Scott Fish Bowl and thinking about picks and how I'm thinking about picks as they're coming up. And I start to think of them about six picks before I'm picking. And then I start to whittle the list down and try and explain why I'm going in a certain direction or why I'm thinking of these players. To give some insight. And, you know, there's a few people in there who picked Kyler very early, second round. And I was saying, well, I think you've overpaid. And they didn't really get that. But the Arizona line is so bad. Kyler got sacked 48 times this season, last season. And I don't see that improving. I don't see him getting, you know, he might improve to like 45 sacks or 44 sacks, but he's not going to improve that much. So that's all those sacks is more points off your total. And his completion percentage isn't 67%. I don't think it's going to get that high. So that's more points off your total. And that's why he slots in at that sort of QB8, QB9 range for me. And I think that's where I can say comfortably Kyler Murray's a reach in the second round, unless like seven QBs have gone off the board, then I kind of get that. People like Josh Allen don't figure too well. I mean, they're fine. If you've got him as a QB2, that's a nice place to be because that's kind of where he sits. People that excel in this format, Patrick Mahomes, Breeze, Dak, Lamar, purely on the rushing side of things. But again, his completion percentage kind of doesn't put him in the same tier as Mahomes like he would do in most leagues. Aaron Rodgers is a fairly high quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a top six QB in this format because he doesn't miss. He's not exciting, but he's behind a good offensive line that doesn't get sacked. So that's where learning the scoring of leagues is so incredibly important and taking the time to research this, because people sit there and ask, you know, why have you got Breeze so high on your board? I'm like, because the guy has a 70% completion rate. So where others are losing points on completions, I'm making points. Mm-hmm. That's a huge swing. On some players, I have like an 80-point swing, which is just completions, just on how much they throw the ball and complete the ball as an 80-point swing. Regardless of how many yards they produce.
And Breeze is on a massively offensive team as well. You know, their defense is good, but the offense fires. And he hyper-targets Michael Thomas, dumps the ball off to Alvin Kamara. And when he does these things, he hits the guy and the numbers are in the hands and game on.
And he knows when the sacks are coming, doesn't take that many sacks. And that's the thing. You know, we talk about this in the book. We talk about this all the time, that you have to really understand your settings. And we're in a complicated league, the BFL. there's a lot of people who listen to this that are in some form of a division of the BFO run by Neil Simon. And Simon's a good mate of mine, and I've got to know him really well through this process. And it's amazing when you see some of the drafts there. It's kind of a keeper custom league. They, in our league, we're supposed to draft in August. And they said, well, we're open up the first round. You can do draft videos, blah, 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 blah. And like I said, well, to be honest, my head's in the Scott Fishbowl scoring. And I'm not ready to pivot over to an IDP custom scoring setup just yet. You know, it's leagues that we do on Sleeper, we add some custom elements to it, but by and large, the strategy is a pretty simple one to work out. Mm-hmm. If it's a 4X tight end premium that we did, you heavily invest in tight ends. A Superflex tight end premium, you kind of have to get that balance between tight ends and quarterbacks, or you punt tight end and then just invest in the other positions. When you do something like the Scott Fishbowl, it does take a lot of effort, a lot of work. You can see the people that put the effort in every year. And then, you know, you've got things that this is also a tight end premium league. There's points for first downs. There's a lot of custom scoring that's very difficult to put together and to contextualize. And it's very hard to get the data as well. It's not something you get pretty easily. You know, you have to really do a lot of research. And there's some great people, Peter Howdy on Twitter, PA Howdy, Addison Hayes is another that do some really great sheets that help immensely. But the lesson of this, and we talk about Scott Fishbowl because it's kind of like the peak of the fantasy, but there's so many great leagues that we're going to be in. The UKFL's kicking off soon. The King's Classic will be drafting in August that we're lucky enough to be in and got invited to represent the UK with some great folks in that division from abroad. So the guys from, the FF Down Under Bowl are part of that. You know, we've got guys in Mexico and Canada, some great people, Germany represented. But then also in that division is, you know, Andy Singleton and Evan Silver and, you know, some really great, Graham Barfield, who's been on this podcast. There's some great people in there. So, you know, for us now, this is the exciting part of the year with the UKFL coming up. The Steve Raines Bowl, we gave away our spot to Neil Dutton. So congratulations to him, because we got given a spot to give away. And, you know, you did a great job announcing that last week. I got a message from Jack who said he really appreciated the thoughts and messages. And that one meant a lot, which is why we weren't going to do a spin the wheel or something like that. You know, we wanted someone who was going to represent the league, and Neil did a good job to do that. But so many other tournaments that we're in, and we love the tournaments. The FF Down Under Bowl is another one that mentioned that we're in. You know, it's a fun time. The FFCC, which we're running, which is, you know, a best ball tournament. So there's lots of great, this is the great time of year because it's all those very interesting drafts. You meet a lot of very interesting people and you have a lot of fun. And this is kind of when fantasy football is like alive for me now. Like this is, it's the first sort of 3-4 months is all prep. It's preseason. This is the time where it's enjoyable and you get the right people and you can have a right giggle and do some really interesting things. And we're going to do some listener leagues at some point. I don't know when you want to do them.
We will get around to them. And I'm going to make sure this t-shirt's obviously we're going to be running 11 again, Murph, 11 leagues.
Don't
go more than 11. Don't go more than 11.
It's up to you, really. I kind of don't. I'm not putting you on the spot here, but I think
we should run. So we've got the Champions League, Champions of Champions this year.
That's separate for me because of what it is. So
yeah, no. But what I was going to say is we should then run 11 this year. That will then create another Champions of Champions next year. And then when we get 12 years down the line, we can have like a Champions of Champions. And okay, that will be it. So there's a 12-year plan.
So here's a question then. Does the Champion of Champions this year get into the Champion of Champions next year?
Well, and then what in place of us? Unless we win one.
Well, not in place of us, but I guess what could happen is we could do it this way. Either the Champion of Champions is going to have to enter some of our leagues, which I'm sure they will, and try and win one. Or alternatively, if we win one of the leagues, then we invite the Champion of Champions in.
Yeah.
Because okay, our spot is locked, obviously, and We could always invite, if we win one of the 11 leagues, then we'll invite the champion of champions or whoever we want. I think this time around, to fill the champion of champions, I think I ran a spinning contest of all the runners up. I think this year we don't do that. I think this year we can pick whoever it is.
Yep. All right. We'll do that.
And I would always push for the champion of champions winner. And if it's us, then happy days.
But I mean, if we win the Champions League, we just hang up because that's it. We're done. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun things we can do.
Yeah,
so that's the next season. So listener leagues we'll do soon. I think we'll talk about offline about what we want to do and the types of leagues. If you have a particular type of league and you're listening to this and got some ideas, share them. That'd be good. If you do want to sort of pre-enter the listener leagues, drop us a DM on Twitter. That proves that you actually listen to the podcast and not just see one of my tweets and an audio clip or something. So if you are listening to this and want to play in the listener leagues, then send us a DM saying, you know, something along the lines of, I've listened, consider this my pre-entry or something like that. And then when the first leagues get set up, that's you, you'll get in. Because you're the diehards, you're the ones that keep us going. We've done book leagues for the book orders and people who bought the book, and we did, I think, 10 of those, and I think we might probably will have to do another one of those as well.
It feels like we've done a lot of those already.
It's been tough drafting.
Philip Rivers has just gone in my Super Bowl in my SFB. Yeah, ahead of Derek.
Don't like that one at all, but okay.
Hey. So t-shirt designs for next year's Listener League is going to be lit. We are going to run more Listener Leagues because they're a hell of a lot of fun. FFCC Murph, pretty much nearly full. We're going to be closing the entries come the end of next week.
I would say this week, maybe we might extend to Monday. So we have sign-ups. If you have signed up, by the way, please don't sign up again because I have to manually take out the duplicates. It's not like I can just filter them out. I have to manually delete them so that I don't have too many people. There's one guy that signed up four times. I had to drop him a DM. It's like, I've got your entry. Please do not enter again. Now, listen, if you signed up in like April and you can't remember and then you sign up again, or you signed up in like January last year when we unofficially opened them, I kind of get that a little bit. Like I've made that mistake, but four times, like you've not just done that because you've forgotten. You've done it hoping that that you get four times the chance to get in, and that doesn't happen because I delete all the duplicates. And actually, if nothing else, you just caused me more work, and that might move you down the list. So if you think you have, or you're not sure, you can DM us and I will search and I will tell you. Some guy did that the other day. He's like, I think I've entered, and I messaged him back saying, you haven't, and he's like, great, I'll do that now. And that's totally fine. And the same way that, you know, if you think you have and you want to double check, just message me. It's so much easier. Like I can just say, yeah, you entered, I've got you, you're all good. You know, I don't want to be annoying, but it is just time consuming just to delete duplicates, and it's just not what, like, we don't get paid for this. Like, I'm not trying to be a horrible human being here. I'm just trying to make my life easier for these sorts of things. So please enter. If you haven't filled in the form, definitely do. We want to see great people in here, people that played last year. It'll hopefully be more seamless than it was. The draft experience will certainly be an upgrade. If you are yet to... You know, hopefully you'll play against some great names. We have some great names in this year. I hope to get a few more to go along that side. But, you know, we've got people like Graham Barfield. We've got Joe Dolan in it. We've got SFB9 winner Gary Haddow. We've got Kevin Tompkins. We've got Brian Drake, Dwayne McFarland, Smitty, Nate Hamilton. There's just some great folks in this tournament already. I plan to get even more great people in this. So Pat Fitzmaurice is in this. Just so many great people that we have in this tournament. Smitty from the Sleeper U show, you know, he's, or the Fantasy Football show on Instagram, he was on. You know, all these great people that we've got, Titans of the industry. you can have an opportunity to beat them. You know, many, many games in the first, second round last year saw average Joes knock out fantasy legends, and that's kind of what the point of this
week
is.
One, I got done week one last year, week two, because it's 2 weeks, but yeah, you know, there you go. 5 yard Bosch gone. I think Pitsy was the only survivor of the 5 yard crew.
Pitsy and Lee were the only ones that kind of went any kind of distance worth of merit. And then Jack Humphrey of the Kickers Matter podcast won it last year, as you mentioned. So it's a great format. It's a lot of fun. It's best ball. You don't have to worry about setting a lineup. It's just having the draft. And you never know. You might be drafting with someone whose podcast you listen to or someone whose articles you read. And
hey-o!
That's kind of the fun. You might get in a division with me or Stocks. And if you've drafted against us hundreds of times before, then it will just be one more. But you always know that we're quite active in the chats. I kind of make it a case in point to be as active as I can. And that's why, you know, with the draft systems that we've done so far, we've tried to stifle the amount of drafts that we're in at one time so that we can be more active during the draft. I think the most that we've been on in one time is like 4 plus the eliminators, which is kind of a bit different because they're for fantasy cares and for charity and things like that. So yeah, I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. Just enter if you haven't already. Any questions, ping them across. Happy to answer them. But ultimately, it's going to be hosted on Sleeper. It should be much easier, a bit more seamless this year, and everything will be on the site for you to view and see. So it'll be a lot of fun. So join that. And then we do have one more giveaway for fantasy spots. And we were very blessed to be given spots into tournaments. We gave away the Warrior Bowl spots last week. That was on Twitter. Congratulations to the 3 that guaranteed the spot in the Warrior Bowl. We gave away the Steve Rain role spot to Neil Dutton, and congratulations to him. We do have the Fantasy and Frames winner. Now, this person followed the instructions of the tweet. I did look through all the entries earlier on and, you know, picked the winner. That person's Matt Inkster. So, Matt, congratulations. You'll be playing in the Fantasy and Frames Charity Bowl for the chance to win $100 to your charity, but you're going to have to go through us. So no pressure. Let's hope your draft goes better than your BFU draft. You were telling me about that this morning. And yeah, that was an interesting one. Another example of where you should always read the rules and look at the scoring before you draft, because he had a bit of a mare in that one. He won't appreciate me saying that. I'm not in that draft, but he told me about it. And I was like, yeah, you probably should have read the rules.
Well, congratulations, Matt. Hope you win it and get your $100 for the charity that you want to send.
I kind of hope he doesn't win it, but it's still all the same. It'd be great because I'm not sure who we're in the division with, and I'll tweet it out afterwards in case you missed this. But yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. A lot of Americans in it. The Fantasy and Frames guys are awesome. Been speaking to a couple of guys over there. And they're just pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to being in that and to try and win $100 to our charity, which I don't think we've got one. I think we were going to do that this year, and then COVID kind of happened. It's kind of changed all the perspective. So when we win that, we'll think of a charity to donate to, or send some suggestions. One of try and find one that we can really support.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we should talk about some news, because there's a couple of headlines that have dropped within the last few days and a pretty big deal for the NFL and fantasy as a whole. So congratulations, Patrick Mahomes, owners in Dynasty. You've got yourself set for the next 10 years at least. This deal, obviously, when it dropped, it didn't drop monetary-wise straight away. It was just the fact that it was going to be a 10-year deal, and then details started leaking out. I mean, it's going to be, by all accounts, tied to the salary cap, right, Murph? So it'd be a percentage of the salary cap. And the people have worked it out, from what I can tell, to be about $45 million a year for 10 years. Now, let me put that into perspective. With $45 million, you can go out and get yourself a starting player for the offense and defense. So here's what you can get for $45 million. Lamar Jackson, Nick Chubb, Juju, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, George Kittle. So there's your offensive skill positions. Then you've got offensive tackles, Orlando Brown and Ryan Ramczyk. Offensive guards, Connor Williams and Eagleton Jenkins. Center, Ryan Kelly. Now we move to the defense, where you get defensive end, Max Crosby. This defense is absolutely ridiculous, by the way. Max Crosby at defensive end, Kenny Clark, at defensive tackle. Joey Bosa at defensive end. He's the most expensive player at $6.5 million. TJ Watt, Darius Leonard, Fred Warner, and Leighton Van Der Esch all at linebacker. Then you've got Tre'Davious White and JC Jackson at corner, and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Xavier Woods at safety, all for the same price as Patrick Mahomes.
So just on this, I think, you know, there's some things about the contract that people don't understand, and I'm going to try and make this as easy as possible from what I've read. These are opinions and thoughts of some of the best salary cap writers on the planet. So there's a few things to consider here. This contract is worth approximately $503 million. Many people talking about it as the richest deal in sports. Realistically, it's not. Mike Trout's $426 million deal is definitely the richest because all that money is fully guaranteed. So he will get, Mike Trout will get all $426 million.
He's pretty good, though.
He is pretty good. There's some things to point out with this Mahomes deal. Now, this is a 2-year, it's a 10-year extension onto his current contract. So it, to 2031, he still has his 2 years as his rookie deal and then 10 years after that. The key date in this contract, I get a lot of this information from guys like Andrew Brandt and Bill Barnwell of ESPN and Zach Moore and loads of other great people, Jason Fitzgerald from Over the Cap, and I've been reading a lot of this in the last 24 hours. All signs point to 2025 being the really key year. The chances of Mahomes playing on this contract until 2031 is slim, almost zero. It seems to be at 2025 is the point where they renegotiate this contract again. And that's the point where they will then make an assessment on what the money is. So it realistically is 2 years of his current deal, a 3-year extension, and then a renegotiation. Or four, actually, is it four? It's a 4-year extension. And then it's a renegotiation point. Kind of like what's happened with Rodgers. So if you look at Rodgers, Rodgers has been on this long, effectively a long contract, but he's renegotiated twice with new money and has set the market. And I think Mahomes is going to be on the same trajectory as long as he remains healthy, which is the big question. No doubt Patrick Mahomes is a huge winner out of this, but there's no doubt that the Chiefs are also a huge winner because what they do now is they've tied the rights to Patrick Mahomes for his pretty much his career, or at least the very best part of it. So what they're doing is they're putting in points and clauses that say, we're going to pay you, we're going to reward you for everything you've done, we're going to recognize the talent that you are, we're going to pay you this money, we're going to guarantee a lot of it, but we're also, you know, giving you that point to renegotiate. If he blows up to be bigger and needs a new market setting deal, they can do that. This is pretty team friendly. It's like you said, it's tied to the salary cap. Realistically, he's probably making sort of that 40 to 45 million a year range. There'll no doubt be some additional incentives and riders in there. So the Chiefs will get the marquee player under contract and get him at a very good rate. But on the flip side, Patrick Mahomes will make a lot of money. He's also guaranteed against injury. If he goes down the first game of next season and he ends his career, he's still going to walk away with $141, $142 million. So there's a lot of protection for Patrick in the fact that if he gets... And quarterbacks are pretty... I mean, look at Alex Smith. There's an example of a starting quarterback who will probably never play the game again and got injured on the field. And there's many more examples like that. Now, we really hope that doesn't happen. But if it does, at least Patrick Mahomes will have that money to... It's not consolation, obviously, but at least he's got something for everything that he can and possibly will do. And then the same goes for the Chiefs, get their player and locked up, and they've got the get out should Patrick Mahomes go on the decline and not be this player that we expect him to be for the next 5 years. So it's a good deal all around. It's one of those rare ones where you look around and say, Mahomes could have probably got $60 million a year. He could have probably got that. But he would have had to have given up the guarantees. He would have had to have given up the negotiation point at 2025. He'd probably had to have given up things. And I think it shows to the kind of person that Mahomes is that he's not greedy. He's not in this just for his own personal wealth. You know, he's, don't get me wrong, he's making a lot of money. It's a pretty easy thing to say when you're making 40, 45 million a year. But He could have pushed for 60, and we all know that. We all know he could have got more money. He could have sat out. He could have waited till free agency and got a really stupid big deal. But he feels that the Chiefs is home. He's happy to commit his pretty much his career there. He's happy to give a little back so the team can be competitive. You know, what's the point of being the richest player playing on the worst team? You know, if he gets paid $60 million, that offensive line isn't going to be as good as it's going to be. He might not have the weapons to throw to. They might have a pretty poor defense because that's what $60 million costs you. If you lose, if you're paying all that money to the quarterback, the other positions suffer. It's just how much they suffer.
You've only got to look at New England. Tom Brady never took as much money as he could have done for the benefit of the team. And I mean, the dude's got 6 rings, right?
Exactly that. For him, it's about it's ego. It's a chip on his shoulder. He wants to be known as the best quarterback of all time. And don't get me wrong, he made a lot of money playing, and he still is making a lot of money playing. You can't sniff at $25 million a year now that he's earning. But he's always taken less money to have a competitive football team. And that's a good ethos to have. And, you know, people talking about Dak, and Dak's not arguing over money. I think the money's there. I don't think they're arguing over money. I think they're arguing Dak wants a longer guarantee of how much money he's going to get paid because he knows there's a risk. And I don't think Dak's going to ask for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 12 years as the meme is going around. I think he just wants a 5-year deal, and Jerry doesn't want to give him one. So that impasse will end at some point. But happy for Mahomes. I think he's done very well. I think it's one of those rare good deals all round. I don't think anyone is disappointed. No one loses in that deal. I don't think anyone you can say all round that nobody's bad off in that deal. Everyone's won. Everyone's got something that they really wanted out of the deal, and everyone's happy. I don't think there is a general winner. I can't say Patrick Mahomes is the biggest winner because he's obviously given up quite a lot to get that deal. Can't say the Chiefs are because he could go down tomorrow and that could wreck the Chiefs franchise for the next 10 years.
You know, we're winners in the fact that the Chiefs have signed possibly the greatest quarterback. We don't know this yet, but he could be up there, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It shows what the Chiefs did in the Super Bowl with Andy Reid. Andy Reid finally got himself a Super Bowl ring, and now they've signed Patrick Mahomes. What's to say they don't now win? You know, there's nothing to say that this team-friendly deal benefits the team in the way Brady did. And Andy Reid suddenly chasing Bill Belichick for those Super Bowl trophies because he's got the guy he believes to be the quarterback of, well, he is now the quarterback of the Chiefs' future, and with this team-friendly deal can build around him. And Andy Reid obviously is still hungry to win football games, and if he wants to chase down Bill's total, this is a good way to go about it, signing Patrick Mahomes a 10-year deal, because, hey, hell, they could win 4 of the next 10 easily.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's just great to see great players locked up. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what we want. You know, as much as I love free agency days and when the market opens up and see all the players moving and where they're going, and it's great. You want to see the best players locked up as much as you want your team to get a Mahomes. And I understand that 120%. But I think you want to see, I don't want to see ridiculous, I don't want to say ridiculous. That's not fair. I don't want to see long drawn out contract negotiations, and I don't want to see holdouts. I completely appreciate why players hold out, especially running backs. And I think running backs should do what they have to do to get paid. But it doesn't mean as a fan, I enjoy watching it. I understand it. I respect it. And I actually agree. And in that situation, I'd probably do the same. But that doesn't mean as a fan, I want to see these situations. I want to see the best players get paid. I want to see them earn what you might call obscene amounts of money, but what they have to do and how it changes their lives. Like, they, you know, I'm not trying to make this like a nobility thing, but these people put their bodies on the line every single week. It's not a safe sport. Many people get permanent injuries. We've seen what's happened with CTE. Why shouldn't they be financially rewarded, especially if the owners are getting all the money? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's great. So I'm all for Mahomes. So I'm pleased for him. I'm pleased for the league. I'm pleased for everyone. This wasn't a ridiculous contract negotiation that was made public and he said this and she said that and I want this and I want that. It seemed to be a very amicable, very good process that everyone has walked away happy. And as someone who does sales, that rarely happens. It rarely does, and that everyone feels good about it at the end of it.
The unicorn of deals, eh?
Yeah, definitely. And I think applaud everybody involved for putting together such an inventive and creative deal that's got everybody talking.
Yeah, my timeline on all socials is absolutely blown up with Mahomes for about 4.5 hours today. It was just repeat posts from loads of different places. It was a good time to be a football fan, that's for sure. Moving on, the Washington Redskins, they are doing an internal, not investigation, that's the wrong word to look at it, but an observation about the name, the Washington Redskins, because there's been a lot of pressure from outside sources and internal, some of the owners, not Dan Quinn, that's right. Is it Dan Quinn?
Dan Schneider.
Dan Quinn's the Falcons, right. Dan Schneider, the owner, he has been pretty adamant that he's not going to change the name at all ever since he got into the business. But there's been internal pressure from other owners, part owners, and I know Nike have withdrawn all their Washington Redskins stuff. I mean, I suppose even we should probably stop calling them Redskins, right? It's trending that way, and it's very similar to the whole Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. It's very difficult for me as a person of white privilege to really have a knowledge and understanding about what's going on. But when the term is derogatory, so for instance, the Redskins, yeah. We should definitely be considering the treatment of these names and stuff in where we are in today's in global what's going on right now, I suppose.
I find this a very difficult subject to talk about, given the fact that I'm a quote unquote privileged white man. I don't understand, that's wrong. It's not that I don't understand. I understand, but I've never felt it. So for me to sit here and get on a high horse, and it's easy to call out racism and it's easy to call out all these sorts of terms. It's not a subject that I think you can summarize and talk about in a very easy manner that's easy to understand, and not one that I think a podcast can do justice other than change is required in society. And that's obvious. And change needs to be soon. And things like this need to happen. Same with the Cleveland Indians. They are all situations in which these things have to happen. Whether it's, it should be soon, but no doubt that the pressure is coming from FedEx and it's coming from sponsors and minority owners because they have money in this that they can lose as a result. I don't think this is a nobility cause. I don't think they're doing it because they've seen the light. I think this is a money-driven exercise. But I just think it is time. I don't know what the new name's going to be. Frankly, without being honest, I don't care anything as long as it's different. You're not going to catch me too often talk about these sorts of things, and it's not because of the fact that I'm not sympathetic. It's very far from that, and very much on the opposite spectrum. It's just the fact that I think no matter what we say on this, we're wrong.
Yep. And we are so far removed from the thing itself, right?
And also, this is an education process for us. I've taken a lot of time to speak to a lot of friends who have gone through some very difficult things. I'm not going to talk about them on here. It's not my place. It's not my story. For me personally, this is a personal development thing. I don't think I've ever said anything based on being offensive based on people's color of skin and ethnicity, and I have a lot of friends who are quote unquote minorities, which I hate that term even as well, but just for the sake of this podcast, let's use that term. But at the same token, there's that ignorance, the way you can say something that you don't think is wrong that could be, because we are ignorant to that. We have to strive to be better people. All of us, everyone has to strive to be better, not just about this, but about everything. COVID has taught everybody a lesson that life is precious. It's taught me more than most, I think, that we need to be less self-indulgent and we need to be better people. We need to have a community. We need to talk more, shout less. We need to understand people's points of view. We need to let people explain in detail what they're trying to say. Don't cut them off and assume that what they're saying is what it is. And as much as I think racism should be called out, try and understand why they're saying it. I think that's just as important. There are many things that people say that aren't, they didn't mean it to be that way. It's just ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't want to talk about this, because anything I can say could be construed as ignorant because I'm ignorant about the matter. That's not, people can be very quick to say, you should learn more. I am. I learn every day. I spend every day talking to people to understand, to be the best I can be, the best person, the best human I can be. I just don't feel comfortable verbalizing this too much because of the fact that I appreciate I'm ignorant about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and no, therefore, I don't want to put too much out there and have people tear it to bits. because I'm not that person that has got a bad bone in his body and would call people out for things like that. And I don't want to say anything that is going to offend anybody ultimately, because that's not the way I'm wired. So there are people that I know who listen to this podcast very dearly and will have a discussion with people. And I have had discussions with people, but I will always be somewhat reserved because I'm not that person who will intentionally say something to hurt people, but can understand that I'm ignorant enough to where I could say something to hurt somebody without knowing it.
Yeah.
And I think if everybody can accept that inherently, that's a start.
Yeah. And not only that, Ed, just because you say something one way, people hear stuff completely the other way as well, don't they? So regardless of us being ignorant on the matter, you hear stuff how you want to hear it compared to how somebody's saying it. So just because somebody, and not just on this matter, but in life, you know, the conversations are very much a four-way thing, not two-way, because you can hear and say stuff how you want to say and hear stuff, and the opposite party does exactly the same. So being along the same line as everybody else is increasingly difficult in today's world, and then stuff like this just makes it even harder. So yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. And
yeah, and I just want to underline the point that being silent on this matter doesn't mean that we condone what's going on. I don't think you need to have the loudest voice to win the argument. And I really don't accept the fact that you feel the need to speak out in order to force change. I appreciate that a lot of people do have that opinion, and that's fine. I think that we all have to strive to be better people. That starts on a, you know, and that might not be good enough for some people, and that's completely fine. That's your opinion, and that's your right to have that. I think ultimately what we all have to do is be better people first. And we highlight injustices and we highlight things that are wrong. We learn from them and be better. But ultimately it comes from being better people. And that's, to be a better person, you have to understand and learn and evolve as a person. You know, what was politically correct 5 years ago isn't politically correct now in some circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly evolving as a person. For me, it's always every single day. It's just learning. It's being a better person. It's being a better human. And it's to contribute. It's to contribute to things. And just being vocal about it, I don't think is the only method of contribution. I think there's many other contributions that you can make as a person. I'm not talking even financially. There's just many things. Just helping people understand what is right and what is wrong. Raising people, children, friends, family, whoever, is good things. Me talking on the podcast about how much I condemn racism isn't going to change anything, as much as I would like to think that I've got that kind of platform and ego. So the reason we've not talked about this is because I'm not comfortable about it. It's because we're not in the place. We're not the people that can do this. We can acknowledge what's been done previously that's wrong, and we can evolve and be better people. As much as we weren't a factor as to what was going on, we're also not the people to change it. Mm. This requires better people than us for this. The only thing you'll get from me is that every day I'll strive to be a better human being, a more compassionate human being that will help anybody in any need. And if anybody ever wants to talk, I will always listen and I won't stand for things that are wrong.
Yeah. But that's the perfect segue moving on to the next point then, Murph, about constant evolution and bettering yourself and learning every day. And, you know, we're about to come upon a massive milestone for the podcast. You know, this little podcast that can, we're just about to hit the 100,000 download mark. So Rush Nation, we thank you. Beyond our wildest dreams, did we ever think we'd get to this gigantic number for us, shall we say? I mean, we're not stopping, as we say all the time, this train never stops, but we are approaching the 100,000 download mark. And you know, the 5 Yard Rush brand podcast is constantly evolving, and a little bit of a spoiler here, peeking behind the curtain, we are outreaching the umbrella of the 5 Yard Pod just a little bit, shall we say. We are extending the reach of our coverall when it rains a little bit further, and there will be a podcast dropping at the end of the week to explain more about this. We are massively excited about the prospect, which is just around the corner. And yeah, whether we get to that 100,000 by the time you have finished listening to this podcast or by the end of the week, I'm sure it will happen by then. But as soon as it does, there's a massive announcement coming.
Yeah, we might even jump on and do that announcement, even if it's a short 15-minute thing. Yeah, unbelievable to get to this many downloads. There's a lot of people we got to thank that unfortunately, would sound like an Oscars speech. So we're probably...
I would like to thank my mother, though, because we do use her garage.
That's fair. There's a lot of people we've got to thank. We're not going to do it. And it's not because we don't care. But I think we'll do something to privately say thanks. And a lot of people will know who they are, from our writers to Lee especially, and many other people. You know, it's very special to be part of this podcast. It's very special to have people listen and interact and talk to. One thing I've learned about this podcast, just from doing it and talking to people, is it's kind of restored my faith in humanity a little bit. And I don't want to keep banging on about people because I don't. But the people that interact with our podcast are just incredible. Made some great friends just from people that, you know, would never have known except for doing this. And that's not just here, but it's stateside. Some of the analysts that we speak to are people who I've listened to and heard their work and been fans of, and now they're people I can call friends and people who I can enjoy and ask opinions and talk about regular stuff, not just fantasy football. And people over here that listen, you know, met some incredible people who people would never have met or never have spoken to, and maybe I've not met most of you personally, like in person, but I feel like I know you through the interactions that we have, and we don't just talk about fantasy football, where that does dominate a lot of the conversations. So to anybody who's ever listened, whether you've downloaded this once, whether you've downloaded it 1,000, 5,000 times, whatever it is, I just want to say thank you, because you give us a reason to, for you and me to talk and to, and to catch up. And you know, we always say this is the best day of the week. We always get away from everything for an hour and a bit and just talk about what we love and our passion. And then we get to talk to people outside, and what we're trying to build and what we're building is a community of like-minded people who just enjoy and have a passion that's united. And I think there needs to be more of that in the world in general, but I'm really pleased that we're part of something that is inherently good, regardless of whether it's completely useless or not. It gives people a smile. It gives people a reason to be happy and to interact and to talk and to, dare I say it, live a little.
I disagree with it being useless. My math has definitely got better.
And I think that, look, what more than saying it's improved Stocks' math? I think that, I just think that anything that can just unite people to be good and to talk and to have fun can't be bad, even if it is completely pointless and useless. So thank you to everybody. Really appreciate it. Here's to the next 100,000 downloads, and here's to, you know, the 250,000 and however long we go for. Yeah, just very, very special. And I know we're not there yet. We will be there soon. And yeah, we got much more coming. As you mentioned, there's an announcement. We'll talk about that. It's a very exciting time. If you want to join the team, there's always spaces. We've got an incredible writing staff who have far outpaced and out-expect my estimations and yours. And the people we have are incredible. There's always room for more. We're not looking for the next, you know, the next Evan Silver. We're not looking for the next polished, finished article. We're looking for people who just want to have fun, want to express their way in their writing. And yes, we have a high standard, and yes, we will push you in the sense of to be better, but it's only because we believe in the people that do work for us. And work for us is wrong. Contribute. And they give us a ribbon, as much as, you know, I remember you and me took a couple of weeks off writing after finishing the book, and you know, oh, thanks for coming back. You know, yeah. But it's because it's that kind of environment that we all just get on, and we all respect the heck out of each other. And you know, we want more people like that. And if you want to write for us, we get a lot of people. I've said this on the podcast before, but if you're new, if you want to write for us, you can write for us. Come up with the idea. Tell us why people will read your article, wherever it's going to be on. Tell me why I should spend 5 minutes reading it when you pitch me the idea, or Stocks the idea, or whoever. I think all our writers will say that we're completely fair, and all our writers get a lot of encouragement, especially from you, Stocks. To be honest, I kind of just chime in and dance in and out. You're the one that really nurtures them and brings them along and does the editing. So it's a big shout out to you for the team that we have and who they are. But there's always space for more. So come join this train. When you hear the announcement, you probably would have worked out what it is, but it's proof that anybody can do this.
Well, hey, look at us, right?
Well, exactly that. With a bit of time, a bit of effort, and a bit of care, and taking in good feedback, anyone can do this. We will help you. If you want a career in journalism, if you want a career in this, I'll be honest with you, and you've heard hundreds of our guests say this, it's not an easy career to break into and to do and to get a lot of money for. But if you want to do this, there is a way to do it. We will help in any way that we can, whether we're a stepping stone or a launch pad, whatever you want to call it. We'll try and help as much as possible.
Yep, no, absolutely. 100% agree with all we just said. We are here to help. If you fancy it and you've got an idea, let us know at Five Yard Rush, or even if you want to do the old school email. And to be fair, it's fiveyardrush@gmail.com. There you go. Couldn't have been simpler. We've just completely escaped my Bronco laden head here. We haven't touched upon the useless fantasy football factor of this podcast today, Murph. And I've got a question for you as you finish off the show. Coronavirus obviously is massive now in America, and they haven't even reached their plateau yet. They're still in that upward curve of the first spike. And the Ivy League have now come out in College Bowl and said, you know, we're not going to participate in football until the spring. That's just not going to happen, which may well pave the way for other colleges who wanted someone to do it first to do it, and they might step back from football this season. The NFL seem pretty adamant that they're going to start in September regardless, because they are a money-making machine. And we have touched upon the fact of adding IR spots and maybe a bench spot or two. There's going to be in and out movement on rosters all the time if Corona continues to be the way it is. How do you feel about, if you were in a league where perhaps you've got two running backs or three running backs and then three wide receivers, leaving one running back on one wide receiver slot and then just making the rest of them flex spots in order to make maximum maneuverability for your roster on a week-to-week basis if you do have a lot of injuries due to Corona?
I'm not fully against it, but I don't know if that solves the problem.
No, it was just, I that's why I wanted your thought on it, because I had this thought today whilst mowing, as I do with all of my useless thoughts that come into my head, and I thought, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem, but it might, especially if you grab your running backs early and then load up on wide receivers, and then a couple of your running backs go down and you don't have time to grab them on the waivers, or whether there's just a massive influx of it, but you've got a glut of wide receivers because you grab loads at the end of the draft. You could plug in a couple more for that week than perhaps you might necessarily have done with a solid running back slot.
I mean, potentially the counter argument to that is, why didn't you take more running backs, and why, you know, ultimately, what you do with that is you change the entire draft strategy and the draft concept. And I think you're defeating what you're trying to do, which is to get a team to get a player to get a team out on the field effectively for fantasy football, which I think what this does is it kind of swings it away into a whole new game. Every time you make a change to a roster, especially the amount of spots, I think you kind of, people will strategize for that. And as a result, it will change. Like, the spirit of it's great. I just don't think it will work in principle. I think there's a few things I think about this. First of all, I think the season gets completed. I think it gets done. Whether it starts on time is a different question, but there's plenty of play in the schedule. I think what is key is we look at the Premier League, and here's a great example of a sport that's going on in a country that is ravaged. Okay, not to the same levels, but given percentage of population, it's, I wouldn't say comparable, but it's not a million miles off. Premier League has got very, very few cases of coronavirus. I think it's around 10. Of all the rounds of testing, 10 players have gone down with the coronavirus. That's not a lot in the grand percentage of 2,000 people, 1,800 people getting tested every week. And a total of 10 people have tested positive, give or take a couple. It's not a high percentage. I think when teams get into the facility, when teams get into a routine and they're starting to quarantine and they start to stay within a group and they follow the strict guidelines, which we hope the NFL put in place, I think you reduce the risk of multiple coronavirus cases. Where I'm more concerned with this is conditioning and injuries. And I think that is severely different to the amount of coronavirus cases. I think we might get a few players that will contract coronavirus and they will miss out. I think that number will be very few. I think it's more about players not doing enough preseason, enough conditioning, and might get hurt. Now, the difference to that is whenever a player goes down, another one comes up. you know, we saw last year people like Wayne Gallman become fantasy relevant for a couple of weeks because Saquon went down. We had people all the time getting becoming fantasy relevant because of injuries last year. We saw this with Gardner Minshew. We saw this with, you know, lots of players last year who contributed who wouldn't have.
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. These are all players. I think that there is always going to be enough players in the league for you to pick up and to support, whether it's a waiver wire, whether it's you drafted them. I think you've got to reward people for taking risks in drafts the same way that I think you've got to reward people for bold waiver wire strategy as well. I think if you dilute it so much, it just becomes a game of chance. And it already is, but it goes even more into a luck scenario than a skill scenario. The skill players will find a way, make hay when the sun shines. And I think that's what makes fantasy football so great. Is it's still a game of chance, but it's there is a skill game to it. It's why people stake money on it, because they back their knowledge.
Yeah.
I think the more you dilute that with a million waiver wire spots, a million flex spots versus inherent slots, I think just ruins that, and it becomes more of a luck game than a skill game. And that's my ultimate opinion on it. But I think it's an interesting one. I think we'll learn more. But ultimately, I think we've put these IR spots in to help. Do I think we're really going to need that many? Probably not. I'd rather give people the flexibility based on these, because I think it's more conditioning injuries than anything. But I think it's going to be an interesting season regardless. We'll learn more. But I've become more confident the season will go ahead.
I think dilute's a good word. Maybe I hadn't thought about it in a dilution way, of the fact that diluting the roster with flex spots would basically decrease the skill. It's basically making it into a best ball, essentially, at that point. And then, you know, if you want to play best ball, you go and draft the best ball, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been a fun and informative show, Murph. It's, you know, it's been pretty mellow compared to our normal, but I think it's good. It's been good. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. A lot of things have happened. Get in touch with us. We're going to publish our rankings this week on the website that updates from the book. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got an announcement. We've still got giveaways, I'm sure. There's lots of things going on. So keep in contact with us. Keep following us. Keep asking us questions. If you want us to help with drafts, let us know. If you want to come with ideas, if you want to join us in the league, all those sorts of things, just get in touch and let us know.
Yeah, unless you want help with your Scott Fishbowl draft, then we're against you, then you're not having any help.
Or join the war room.
Join the war room, yes. Follow Murph, it's Murph_NFL.
Yeah.
There you go. Go follow the big man on Twitter, because it's a good follow. Trust me on this. Rush Nation, this has been an absolute blast. As always, Murph, I'll catch you down the road. You will hear from us at the end of the week with an absolute screaming, sensational announcement. But until then, Rush Nation, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.